One of the joys of my life over the last, really, 2 years has been to walk alongside my wife, Chloe, as she has pursued her call, her vocation. She's trained as a clinical psychologist and is finally setting up her own private practice here in Marin. And she's focusing on an underserved aspect of human life, and that is palliative care. She's focusing with people on the end of life, what happens at the end of life and when you face those kinds of large issues. And as part of stepping into her vocation, she's been offering here at St. Paul's something that was invented about a decade ago, even less, in London, called Death Cafe. Have you heard of death cafes? It's an incredibly simple concept. You invite people over for, well, in England, it's tea and cookies. You get coffee here. And it's an open conversation for an hour about death. It's not a support group. It's come and talk about this issue that affects us all. Now, she's offered several of these. I've only been to one, but the experience of people repeatedly, I've heard, has been incredibly positive. For myself, I went to the first one, and what I found so strange was that by the end of the hour, I felt buoyant. I felt energized. I felt, in a way, joyful. Why would that be? I had just spent an hour with people who were talking about some very heavy issues, some things that we all really struggle with. And as I looked into my heart, I realized I had this sense of freedom of like, oh my gosh, you know, I actually kind of think about this stuff and worry about it a lot, and now it's out in the open. And now we can look at it clearly, look at the truth of this. I felt a little bit like I have seen some people who have gone into recovery programs like Alcoholics Anonymous, and after a while, they have that same kind of buoyancy, like, I no longer need to live in a lie. I no longer need to live with all of these secrets. I can become who I am in its fullness. One of the So it's this joyful, exuberant feeling. Chloe, as she's been making this transition, and in fact always, has a huge stack of books at her on her bedside table. And one of them keeps drawing my eye of these books about palliative care. The title of the book, I've not read it, but the title is compelling. It's Who Dies? You know the answer to that question? We all do. Now, for Christians, looking into the reality of that is only the first step. For us, there is more. There is more to embrace and understand and welcome into our hearts. Now, over the last 5 months, we at St. Paul's have lost 5 of our beloved brothers and sisters who have died. And as it happens this year, on Thanksgiving Day, on the day of Christmas Eve, and on the day of New Year's Eve, on all 3 days, I received phone calls to go and give last rites. Now, don't feel sorry for me at all. It is one of the great privileges of my life that I get to go and be present at these sacred, emotionally and spiritually rich moments in people's lives. It is, again, a kind of deep sorrow, but also a deep joy that I'm invited into those moments. It actually ends up being akin to being present when people are baptized, which I got to be last night. I got to baptize 2 young boys who are here this morning, to Logan and Tristan. And I can't tell you what a joy it was to be standing right back there. And Logan is 11 years old, or 10, and he was Marin's Boy Scout of the Year, Cub Scout of the Year for 2 years in a row, and he was standing there dutifully and answering for himself. And his little brother Tristan was doing the same thing, 4 years old. And it was wonderful to hear from both of them when I asked the question, do you desire to be baptized? Logan, I do. And Tristan, I do. And then, when we got to the really intense questions, the first of the intense questions is, do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that draw you from the love of God? And Logan, I renounce them. And Tristan, I renounce them. It's a joy to be there for these significant moments in people's lives. And of course, that means birth, it means marriage, and then it also means death. So as I went to be at the bedside of Roger, Paul, and Rainey, I read these words from our last rites. And part of what was so meaningful is that I knew that for each of those people, these words had deep meaning. Listen to this prayer. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant, Paul, Roger, Rainey. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive him, her, into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. You see, it ends with that expression of joy and of great faith. Now, not only that, not only did I do last rites for those three, I also had the honor of leading their funeral service, as I did for the funeral services of Diana and of Susan. And what you need to know about our funeral service is our funeral service is an Easter service. I wear white. We make sure and have this Paschal candle, which is the Easter candle, lit and there. And again, and this time for all five people, I began the service, as we do each time, with a series of Easter anthems. And for these five people, for Diana, for Susan, for Roger, for Paul, for Rainey, I knew that these were real words, that they believed these at some deep level. And everybody who was gathered in this church for those funerals knew that about these people too, and could celebrate that they had lived lives worthy of these words, living into these words. Now listen to these Easter words that are at a funeral service. I am resurrection and I am life, says the Lord. Whoever has faith in me shall have life, even though he die. And everyone who has life and has committed himself to me in faith shall not die forever. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. After my awaking, he will raise me up, and in my body I shall see God. In my body I shall see God. I myself shall see, and my eyes behold him who is my friend and not a stranger. For none of us has life in himself, and none becomes his own master when he dies. For if we have life, we are alive in the Lord. And if we die, we die in the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's possession. Happy from now on are those who die in the Lord. So it is, says the Spirit, for they rest from their labors. Strange. Death. There's a sense of relief when we come to realize the answer to the question, who dies? There is a sense of sorrow and grief, of course, at losing one that we love. But in the Christian way of life, one nurtures also this strong note of Easter joy, because we come to believe that death is not the end. Why come to church more often? Because here we celebrate that. Here our imaginations are shaped so that this becomes a vivid reality to us. What is that vivid reality? It's the thing that we celebrate this morning, that Jesus once for all time showed to all of humanity that love is stronger than death.